Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1. If you're there, say amen, please. Amen. We are going to read, 8 verses, 11 through 17. Bible says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Can you imagine what an angel looks like? Can you imagine if an angel appeared right now? I got to think he would stand out. Amen? Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Talking about Zechariah standing in the middle of the temple. The angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we want to be your people and we want to be prepared for your coming. Lord, we know that you have great things in store for us. Lord, things, greater things than we can ever imagine. Lord, I pray your guidance and direction in this church. Lord, I pray your guidance and direction, Lord, in the youth, the classes downstairs. Lord, I pray your guidance and direction and healing touch in Larry's hospital room right now. Lord, I pray for this young boy came in here on crutches this morning with a messed up knee from playing football. Lord, I pray your healing touch would move across this congregation, Lord. I pray your healing touch, Lord, poured out in City Heights and in San Diego, Lord, that would see your spirit, Lord, poured out on all flesh, Lord. That we would see your baptism, Lord, coming with fire, Lord. Lord, that there are greater things than we can ever even imagine that you can do. Lord, we don't even know how to pray. Lord, as we come to Christmas time, Lord, and you bring the gift of love, Lord, I think we think of a thimble full of love, Lord, and you would bring an ocean full. Lord, I pray, Lord, an overflow into our lives that we might believe you for big things. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said? How many of you knew Coral Holt? Coral Holt. About five. Coral Holt went to this church, I think 50 years, right, Gene? Something like that. We came here, and Coral was a ripe age of 89. And she passed away, and we buried her. I believe she was 96 years old. 93? 93? Oh, great. All right. Hey. You get past 90, you know, kind of, it's all jumbled up. On my end, anyway. Anyway, Coral lived right up by Adams Avenue, kind of Monroe up there. And there was a store, grocery store. I asked her around. Nobody can remember what it was, like a Vons, a little tiny one, though. And one day she comes to church. She starts telling us this story. She goes into the store. She checks out. She's doing a regular weekly shopping. Been shopping there for 50 years, you know, maybe longer. I don't know how long she lived in that house. And they come up to her, and they say, "You won. You won a 72-inch TV." You know, and Coral's like 90, right? She's kind of, you know, she's kind of, no, I don't want no TV. They're going, no, you won. She says, I don't want a 72-inch TV. You won, ma'am. You are the 100,000th customer at this store. You have won. It was years ago. 72-inch TV was $2,000-$3,000. Ma'am, you have won. And she's like, huh? What? It's yours for free. Oh, I'll take it then. She had to rearrange her house. I mean, this thing was so, I mean, it was bigger than that. It was bigger than that screen up there. It took up a whole wall. And her and Mike Schwab was her boyfriend. He was 92, 90 as well. And they would, you get popcorn, they watch movies on that thing. Unexpected gifts. More than expected is the title of the message today. And so often we come to the message of God, the table of God, and He is offering more than we expect. Amen? Amen. The gift of love is the title of this series. And you ask yourself, what does it look like? And whatever it looks like to you, it's more. Amen? He offers His Son. His Son went to the cross for us that we might be transformed. And sometimes, like Coral, you know, we get the offer of Christ, we get the offer of God, we get the vision of God for our lives, and I don't want that. That's not what I signed up for. I got my little tiny world, I got my little tiny expectations. And so often we can have no on our lips before we can even understand the offer. Amen? See, God has more in store than we can ever imagine. He has got more. He knows what we need. He's got more available than we can ever even ask for. Can you imagine the audacity in your prayers? Can you say, God, would you send your Son to die for me? That's a pretty audacious prayer. Lord, can you send him down, let him learn how to walk, learn how to talk, have colds, have diarrhea, have all that stuff, suffer the indignation of living as a man, and then have him taken by his enemies, spit upon, beaten, mocked by those he came to save. Lord, would you do that for me? How audacious a prayer is that? But that's what he did. That's the gift of love. So my question is, what are you asking him for? It's Christmas time. What do you need God to do? What do you want God to do for you? How much less are you expecting than what he's already done? Oh, Lord, could you give me a new watch? Oh, man, really stretch the bounds of faith. Lord, I need a parking space. God has come through. There it is. God has more than we can ever imagine. God has more than we can expect. The question is, what are you going to do when the offer comes your way? What is the answer that is on your lips? That he sent his Son. He sent his Son to a nation of Jews. And when he got there, they missed him. They had been waiting 400 years for a Savior. They had been waiting in expectation. Malachi chapter, this is the end of Malachi, end of the Old Testament. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the father. Doesn't that kind of sound like what the angel said to Zechariah? He will turn the hearts of their fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. And those are the closing verses of the Old Testament. And for 400 years, nothing. And in the midst of all this is Zechariah, a priest, working in the temple, coming in, doing his job, doing what was expected, praying his prayers. Honoring God with his life. Getting ready to step into something big. Getting ready to step into more than he could ever expect. Something he had been praying for his whole life. Something that was more than expected. You got to watch out what you pray for. Because you might get it. Amen? All right, let's take a look at this. Line up on the Lord. We're going to go back to the beginning of this chapter. Chapter 1, Luke chapter, verses 5 through 7. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah. He belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. They were both priests of the priestly line. Both of them were upright in the sight of God. Now, would that be cool? I would love to make the Bible and be described as someone who was upright in the sight of God. Amen? Man, that is good. I mean, wasn't all that many upright people back in the day. Priests were messed up. Herod was messed up. Upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well along in years. That means they were old. And Zechariah is faithful. Zechariah honors God. Zechariah and his wife are of the priestly line. Zechariah is showing up day by day. And Elizabeth is barren. They have no child. And having no child in this, I mean, I look over here and I see families awash in children. Yes, it is quite empty. It was not quite empty during the song time. No, there's children and children and children. Back in the day, there was children and children and children. If you didn't have a child, it was considered a disgrace. That they were shamed. They were faithful in their lives, blameless before the Lord. And yet, there was a gap in their life. Is there a gap in your life? What are you missing? Their disgrace upon you? Many people living with gaps. Big question is, what do you do with your gap? There's people that rush around trying to fill it. This week was easy to see gaps. We were up to Northern California visiting my family and seeing people that are working hard and they got new cars and they are buying houses and doing all kinds of stuff. And man, it's like, whoa, see a little bit of a gap. Get a little something kind of filling up in your heart, a little covetousness maybe coming along. Question is, what do you do with your gap? People fill it however they can. Easy to feel left out. Easy to feel the gap. Got a gap in your life, especially if you're righteous, you can get angry. You can get angry with God. Zechariah could have said, you know what, hon? We are righteous before God. We are blameless before. He wouldn't have been wrong. He might have been arrogant. And we have got these holes in our lives. There are those that will tell you today, you serve faithfully to God. You won't have any gaps. I get a picture of the faithfulness of Zechariah. Priest, old man, been serving the Lord his whole life because it was passed down father to son. And I get a picture of just serving the Lord, just kind of coming into the temple and just holding up them walls. You know, and after doing it for 50 years, you know what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to show up, and there is that element of faithfulness in your life that you can get. I mean, you get that picture? Now, I want to let you know that it's not just old priests that can be faithful before the Lord. That there are all kinds of opportunities to come in and just take your spot and to become faithful to God.
That's right.
Now, the challenge is continuing your focus, because sometimes you can start off faithful and just kind of lose focus. There are those that serve the Lord, and they're just trying to look good. And then there are those that are just trying to get along. Zechariah was faithful. They were doing right, paying attention. They still had a gap. See, being righteous will not necessarily fill your gaps. But Zechariah's gap's going to get filled. We read ahead. Amen? Let's take a look. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was, you know, there was 24 divisions, and you would serve 2 weeks, 2 weeks a year. They were on a lunar calendar, so they didn't have so many weeks. He was chosen by lot. I'll tell you what that is. It's kind of like drawing straws. according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. And Zechariah is lucky. He gets lucky, man. He gets this, his straw is pulled, and he is the man. Now this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Once you get your number called, you can never win again. Kind of like Coral. 100,000th customer, hey, you have won. He's like, yeah, finally. Look how long he's been serving in that temple. His whole life. All of his childhood buddies, they went to school together. They played football. I don't know what they played back then. They did something together. All of his buddies getting picked. But not Zechariah. He got lucky. Comes right down to us. Many of us would rather be lucky than faithful. Because when you get lucky, you get something. And so many of us, we are being faithful so that we can get a blessing. Thank you for that, Mr. Woodbury. I'll give you a little bit something later for that. We are faithful because we want to get a payback from. We're faithful because we think when we're faithful, God will owe us something. We're faithful that God will fill the gaps in our lives. So Zechariah wins. He is chosen. He is blessed. He gets to go into the temple. I wonder how he felt going into that selection. This faithfulness isn't paying off. My whole life, I'm getting old, I'm getting ready to retire. I never got picked to go into the temple. Don't have a kid. This faithfulness is not paying off. It's not worth it. Ever think that? God's far away from me. It's not worth it. Things are getting ready to change for Zechariah, though. Things are getting ready to turn around. God is setting him up. Set him up for more than he can expect. Amen? More than he ever expected. And before we go on to that expectations and that fulfillment, I have to wonder if God has been holding back on Zechariah. Is that okay? God hold back on you? Oh, amen. That's what I'm here for, Pastor. I have shown up that God can hold up on me. I have come that my blessings might wait until I'm an old man. Yeah, that's what I've signed up for. We can put it out on the front. We are the church of blessing of the old. Oh, that's fine with me, because so often it's not fine with us. We show up, God, that you might fill my gaps. I am here, Lord, that you can bless me. I am here, Lord, that you can do a miracle for me and take away the challenges of my life. Is it okay that God held up Zechariah? Oh, yeah, man, Pastor, yeah, preach that. Don't preach it on me, though. Don't bring it my way. That's not why I'm showing up today. I want to get paid. Black Friday. You know what Black Friday is, right? You know, I didn't know what Black Friday was so a couple years ago. I was like, man, it was a dramatic awakening. But Lisa's having her cousins over and doing this thing, and it's a women-only event. And so guys are kicked out. It's Friday night. So I'm talking to my brother-in-law, talking to my father-in-law, you know, and say, hey, you know, we'll go out, we'll do this thing. And Leanne, like 15, 20 minutes before the man time comes, says, hey, Dad, let's go shopping. And this is, I don't know, it's probably 5 o'clock at night or something. Oh, 3 o'clock. Kind of like Coral. Can't even keep track of age, time, all that stuff. Just starts going. Hair, everything. So it's 3 o'clock, so at 2:30, let's go shopping. And my father-in-law gets there and says, we're not going to go eat. And Lisa says, oh, of course you want to go shopping. It's like, Well, I guess I do. It's my daughter. I haven't seen her in 3 months. Yeah. So father-in-law and I, we go to the mall. And God blesses us with a parking spot. Isn't he so good? Yes. We were ready to throw in the towel. No, there's one right there. And so we got our parking spot, and we go to this store. I don't even know. It's not like Macy's. It's just like some small store. I'm sure all the youth know the name of it. I didn't even see the name as we walked in. And it had big old signs, 40% off of everything. And so we see the line. You know, the line serpentines all the way through the store. And so my father, I said, we just get in line. You go ahead and you shop. She's shopping away, shopping away. And she's, you know what she's thinking? She's thinking where we're going next. And we're noticing this line is moving slow. We were in there for an hour and a half, standing in line. And so we're, you know, about an hour and 15 in. We're like, Leanne, get whatever you want. But this is the last store we're going to. You know, this is our goodness is done. Sometimes we feel that's the way God is. We put the limits on him that we show in ourselves. I got to think, Jesus hung on a cross, he would have probably gone through a second store for my daughter. Maybe third and fourth. Maybe closed them down. See, God has more than we can expect. Question is, what are you going to say when he shows it to you? Because so often we're like, Coral, no, 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 72-inch TV, I don't need no 72-inch TV. It's just a scam. God's not a scam, amen? Amen. All right. Zechariah gets an unexpected visitor. The angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled. Can you imagine? I mean, you walk into the temple, never been there. You're in the holy place. There's a curtain. There's the most holy place behind it. I mean, I'm thinking you're going, oh, man. You're going to light the incense. Oh, let me light something on fire, you know. You know, it's like he's a little nervous. And bam! I don't know, maybe just kind of faded in. But there's an angel right there. I got to think he's going to be startled. He was startled and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. You are to give him the name of John. And God answers prayer. Amen? What are you asking for today? What are you asking for this Christmas? Have you considered, Lord, send your son to die on a cross for me? How different from that for praying for a parking space or praying for get 40% off your item on Black Friday. Your prayer has been answered. I wonder how long Zechariah had been praying. Maybe since he got engaged. They say that he was old. That means that he, the words they use, and if you look in the Greek and stuff, means that he was more than 60. And his wife was more than 60. And they got married young, maybe 15, 16, 17 years old. And perhaps they figured, boy, this is going to be just a shoo-in. Everybody's got kids around us. We got to pray. 17, 18, I don't know, they could have been praying on the first day. 17, 18, 19 comes up. Well, we've got the kids. We better start praying. 21, 22, 23, 31, 30, 41, 51. How long have you been praying? Perhaps he'd been praying 10 minutes. Perhaps he's lighting that incense going, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, here I am, Lord, in your temple before the most holy place. Oh, Lord, if there's any way that I could have a son. 61. I'm not saying he just prayed that day, but perhaps in his heart, the gap was just so high. evident, Lord, if there's any way that I could have a son. What are you praying for? How bold a prayer when you're 61 years old or even older to pray for a son. Angel appears. Your prayer has been heard. Wow. God's going to fill the gap. I'm going to have a son. Going to name him John. And at 61 years old, I got to think Zechariah straightened up a little bit. Chest popping out. Son, John. That was more than he expected. Amen? Continue reading. He will be a joy. Hallelujah. You know, we were around some kids this, I'm not going to mention any names. I don't want my wife throwing anything at me, but I'll tell you, some of them little kids, not so much of a joy. Little whiners. But we are moving on. He's going to be a joy. How many of you ladies, when you pray, yeah, I want a son that's a joyful boy, amen? And I don't want a colicky kid, no way. Many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of God, sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Whew. Elisha, filled with the Holy Spirit. King David, anointed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Samson, moved in the Spirit of God with power. Gideon. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. I'll tell you what, back in the day when you're a priest, you don't get much bigger than the spirit and power of Elijah. Amen? His chest, yeah. To turn the hearts of their fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God will fill the gap in Zechariah's life in a mighty way. More than Zechariah was asking for, more than he could ever expect. Gail and Ed had a grandson yesterday. She was going to go out and help with the birth. When were you planning on leaving? December 7th. Not even going to leave for another week. He's heading out tomorrow, but I got to think the tough part, well, actually, it's all tough now, yes. Lay said, no, don't. You know not what you speak of, yes. But I don't know what they were praying for. You know, I just want a healthy child, no colic, joyful, that's good. But I don't know if they were praying for a world changer. I don't know if they got down on their knees and were asking for a future president. Maybe they were got on their knees and say, please, not a president. But so often our expectations are low. Our desires are low. Our requests are small. But that is not what is portrayed to Zechariah. Estimate 61-year-old Zechariah, going to have a son, going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, going to prepare the way for the Lord, going to have an impact on Israel. And maybe his chest was shrinking down a little. Lord, this is too big for me. Bigger than I was asking for. God was raising the bar. Is it okay if God raises the bar in your life? Is it okay if God shows you a vision that is bigger than you? Because so often, 72-inch, I don't need it. I don't need that. That's bigger than I could fathom. That's bigger than I could imagine. No. And God shows us more than we could ever expect or imagine, and no is on our lips. What happens if he shows you something big this Christmas? Zechariah praying for a boy and gets a world changer. Is it okay? God says, I'm going to do something bigger. We're often challenged by the plans of God. They are so much bigger than we can ever imagine. Lord, I'm just looking to fill the gap in my life here. I just need $5,000, man, to get me a new car, get some clothes, get a place. I'm good. I just need this. God says, that's not what I'm about. I got more. So often we're praying for a little blessing. You know, heal this boy's knee. You know how big of a miracle? I was talking with Larry, how big of a miracle would it be for God to just heal him? But you know what was radical? I went and visit him, and he said, this is last week. Last night, I cast that cancer away from me. I told that cancer to just be gone. He said, it's the first time I've ever done that. I said, why, Larry? And he said, I've never felt worthy. I said, you know what, Larry? I said, I am believing God for a miracle in your life today. But you know what, Larry? I am believing that God is going to do this miracle, not just so that you get healed, but so that you go out and you can be a world changer. You can go out beyond this and you can have a boldness and you can have a fullness. I said, who prays and God heals you when he prays? Johnny Woodbury. You know why? Because Johnny's had like 4 heart operations and all kinds of stuff going on in his life. And when he prays, he's praying to a God he knows change your life. Amen? All right. Sorry. That was ad lib. God shows us a new path, big path, and so many of us would just rather be walking on our own. No is on our lips. I told you last week about, I've talked in the last couple of weeks, and it's been a little while, about God speaking into my life and God calling me to ministry and calling me to the missions field. And one thing, as I was studying about Zechariah, you're going to have a son. But you know who was massively impacted by that promise? His wife. Amen? I mean, Elizabeth did the hard work on that. I'm getting that right, ladies. Am I right on that part? Yeah. I'll tell you, I tell people, I do childbirth great. It's a little bit more difficult on my wife. And I'm telling you, you know, God called us to the mission field. God called me to go down to Mexico, and I'm getting married in like, this is in April. I'm getting married in March. God calls in March. We're getting married in May, and I see Lisa, guess what? We're going to go live in Mexico. What? I said, oh, yeah, man, this is going to be great. Mexico. I mean, she'd been there and stuff. And you know what's cool? God called us here. We're going to San Diego. What? Because we lived a mile from her sister. What? Every time God speaks to me, you got no problem speaking to Lisa too. Amen? No, God speaks. He speaks every language. You're deaf, he can still speak to you. You're mentally retarded, he just reach right into your heart and your soul and let you know. He going to do a miracle? It's no problem letting me know, her know, everybody know. Amen?
Amen.
All right, are we good? I said, I'm going to get done in 30 minutes. It's already 35. All right. We're okay?
We're
good. All right. Zechariah 1:18 through 20. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? He's talking to an archangel, Gabriel. One of the most, you got Michael, you got Gabriel, they're the tops. I don't think, you know, he was looking like Clark Kent, you know, mild-mannered Clark Kent, you know, and I think he was more looking like Superman. I'm an old man and my wife is old too. You see how polite he was? He didn't say she was old. He said, she's well along in years. The angel answered, I'm Gabriel, man. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now, you will be silent and will not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which come true at their proper time. Yeah, I don't think he was expecting that part. Amen? And he's a priest. You know, priests always talk a lot. I talk a lot. It would be hard for me to be shut up for a long time. How can I be sure? God, I've been serving you so many years. I've been faithful. I've been praying. And I've never had the answer I was looking for. How can I be sure? How can I trust you, Lord? How can I know you'll come through? This happens as Zechariah gets the massive, giant vision that God has now put before him for his whole life. How can I believe you on this, Lord? How can I trust you? When there's nothing before you but God and his plan, your faith will be trusted. Your trust will be evaluated. And right now, that's what Zechariah is going through. A test of his faith. My question for you this morning, as you think about the mighty things that God would do, could do, is how big is your faith? How would you handle a visit from an angel? How would you handle the call of the Holy Spirit, the prompting of the Holy Spirit to do a radical thing in your life? Zechariah is wondering, how can I be sure? And one thing, I mean, there is some correction in this because he didn't believe the angel. But if God can give you a child at 61, God can prove himself. Amen? And I don't know what the Lord is putting through in the picture that's coming into your soul right now, but if he's putting that picture there, he can affirm that he is real. Amen? How many of you were blessed by what Dave said this morning? I'm telling you, man. Dave, where's Dave? Is he cooking already? Dave literally would beat his head against the wall in frustration in his life while Tarina was still here and going to this church. Would not come into this church and just would beat his head against the wall. This man's life totally transformed. Man's ready for a big picture. Bigger than he can expect. Amen. And you know what God does? Mighty things in our lives. And we see his testimony. I mean, it's a great testimony to see Larry just transformed and healed. Putting big pictures before us. Zechariah be unable to speak. Perhaps he was doubting the messenger. Really? Can I believe you? I got to think he was, you know, looking at something that was greater than, bigger than life. I don't know if I can believe you. He says, I stand in the presence of God. I'm the messenger of God. And we'll let you know this morning that we have a messenger from God who is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's right. Who has been given a name that is above every name. Amen. Amen? And that when he shows you a picture, you can ask him about it, but I wouldn't doubt him on it. Say, Lord, how is this going to work out? Because we see Zechariah and Elizabeth's lives transformed by the message of God. And this morning he had come. And he would give you more than you could expect. And the question is, what is your answer for that? Are you ready to just run with reckless abandon into what the Lord would have for you? Oh, Lord, a world changer? The Lord tell you, you can change the world. I have poured out my Holy Spirit upon you, and I'll change the world. He says, you ask me anything. Don't ask him for a parking space. You ask me anything according to my will, and you have it. You can ask me anything, and I'll do it so that I can give glory to my Father in heaven. So what do you want this Christmas? You just looking to fill gaps? Or you want to find glory? Bigger than we can expect. Last thing, Nehemiah steps into the path, the plan, the glory of God. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed in so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. Amazingly, God comes through. Amen? They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. And when his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace from among the people. Zechariah and Elizabeth. New paths, new expectations. Amen? God comes through. Zechariah can't speak, and Elizabeth gets pregnant. Their disgrace is taken away. Their gap is gone. Their lives are transformed. Amen? Amen. There's some more I want to give you. Jumping ahead to chapter 62. We got the part about Mary we're going to talk about next week. They made signs to his father. The child is born. Still, Zechariah cannot speak. They made signs. Why did they make signs? You know, it's like, dude, he wasn't deaf. They make signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. And he asked for a writing tablet. To everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. And immediately his mouth was open, his tongue set free, and he began to praise God. Wasn't even mad. 9 months, not able to speak, was not angry. Praised God. God, you are so good. You are so mighty. You are so much bigger than my expectations. What I don't want you to miss in this, in the midst of Zechariah unable to talk, and in the midst of Elizabeth going away for 5 months, somewhere in the middle of all that, they said yes. He got home, he got a tablet, I don't know, he said, Elizabeth, Liz, hon, this is what I got from the Lord. I saw the archangel Gabriel in my presence. He said we were going to have a son named John. He was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Is this what you want? They said, yes, it's what we want. Think you can have a child at 61? I don't know. No. Yeah, I want a child at 61. I want all the boldness and in faith we will walk through the path that the Lord has for us. That we would give birth not just to a son, but to a world changer. I guarantee you, the gap in their life was gone. That their life now focused on the Lord, not just saying, Lord, fill my gap, but Lord, I will be part of the plan that you come before me, put before me. Lord, I will walk in that. Lord, I will follow you, and that's not for me that I'm living, but to put glory on you. Because John would live. See, they said, John, his name is John. I want to name my own kid. Can I give him a middle name? I think he should be an astronaut. Like, God, you're giving me a kid, you're giving me his name, you're telling me what he's going to do. Like, yeah, you're going to be part of my plan. I'm not going to jump on yours. And when you begin to shine your light upon him, he said, your son is going to be great in the eyes of men, but he's going to put shining a light on my son that's coming. He's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. And when Jesus came, he said, it's not my word that I'm bringing. It's not anything I do of myself. It is my Father that I look to glorify. See, and as you take this massive picture that God puts before you and says, you want to live to glorify me? All holds are off. All limits are off. I will do whatever you ask. Question is, what is the answer that is on your lips? Because so often, it's I'm fine. I just need a little gap fill. We settle. What do you want today? Lisa, you want to come up and play? I mean, how huge to have Larry healed. Not so that Larry can live, but so that Larry can witness. How huge for us to get a bigger image. Now, I'm challenged by discussions, my relatives buying $1 million home. Lord, I've got a gap. You say, how big was Zechariah's gap? Where's your focus? You want me to shine a light on you, or you want to shine a light on me? Oh, yeah, Lord. Oh, yeah, Lord. Let's do something. Lord, let's do whatever you want to do. Show me the picture, Lord. We'll run into it. I know you can work it out with my wife. And what's a picture that the Lord is showing you right now? How big? How big can you say yes to? Lord Jesus, I pray that you would just come before us this morning, Lord. And by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would call us out of darkness to shine light, Lord. Lord, that we would shine a light on you, Lord. That there would, Lord, that, Lord, we would be like a spotlight right in the middle of City Heights, Lord. That there would be a light that would shine, that would glorify you, Lord. That you would be exalted, Lord, in our lives, Lord. I pray a healing touch for this little boy, Lord, who's got the problem with his knee. I pray the healing touch for Larry, Lord. Probably as old as Zechariah, a faithful man, Lord, his whole life. Lord, we pray a brand new picture for Larry, Lord. A healing touch, Lord. A transformation that he would be a world changer. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the people that are here this morning, Lord, by your Spirit, Lord, that you would call us, Lord. Call us, Lord, to dream big and to be challenged in our lives and to accept that challenge and to grow in our faith and to step forward in you. I'm kind of tripping out right now. I just feel the Holy Spirit. I am challenged. I am believing that you are being challenged by the Holy Spirit right now. That he is coming and that upon many, that he is right now showing you a picture, a massive picture of greatness that is before you, you as an individual and us as a church. Sadly, some of you right now are saying, no, can't handle it, too big. I'm just looking for you to fill a little gap in my life, Lord. That's why I showed up today. That's all I need. That's all I'm looking for. I don't need this big stuff. I'm just out of here. I'm going to get me a burger. That's not what Mary said. That's not what Joseph said. And that's not what Zechariah and Elizabeth said. They said, Lord, however you have said, let it be in me. Lord, I'll take that vision, Lord. I will trust you. Lord, I want to move into it. I want to have my life count for something. We're going to sing a song. And if you have a yes on your mouth this morning, if you have a willingness to dare greatly, as we're singing, as Lisa's singing, if you don't have a yes, don't do this. But if you have a yes in your soul right now, the Holy Spirit is just going, yes, yes, this is you. This is a risky thing. This is a life-changing thing. We sing this song, worship song. Put that song up. Right here. How lovely is your dwelling place. As we're singing that, we're all praying right now. As we're singing that, and you got a yes on your mouth, I just want you to stand. I just want you to raise your hands. Say, Lord, here I am. I want you to see me as your child, Lord. I want to see you to see this yes that is on my lips, Lord. I want you to show me the great things, Lord, that I can be a part of, Lord. I want to take my life. I want to be a giant reflector, Lord. I want to put a light upon you. I want to glorify you with my life. I want to serve you. Hallelujah. Let, hallelujah. Let, hallelujah. Let, hallelujah. Let, hallelujah. Let,